I'm going to talk about the healing of a woman's soul. And, you know, obviously men can be wounded too, but this is a women's meeting. And so I'm sorry, guys, but you'll just have to listen to how to heal a woman's soul, and it probably will help you go home and help your wives have better lives. How many of you want your husbands to help you have a better life? Amen. All right. I've had a lot of practice with the healing of my soul, and I know a few things about it anyway. And Jesus wants us to be whole. Whole. Completely whole. He died not just so we could go to heaven someday, but he died so we could have a life that's worth living while we're on our way to going to heaven someday. And you know what? We've all got a story. And your story is important. And maybe you're one of the ones who could give your victory report, your testimony of what God has done for you, and maybe you're in the process of watching God do something for you. Or maybe, just maybe, you're here tonight and you just thought you had to live with it. It's amazing how many people that even are Christians and go to church, I was one of them for a long time, who has no idea that God is interested in anything other than just saving them and getting them to heaven. And so I lived as a broken Christian for a long, 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 long time. And I think it's bad to be a pitiful sinner, but it's really bad to be a pitiful saint. Because we are God's advertisement to the world. We're his ambassadors, and he's making an appeal to the world through us. And so it's important for your sake and also for his that if you've never done it before, that you make a decision tonight that you're going to go all the way through with God, and you're going to be everything that you can be in him, and that you're not going to live full of pain and secrets and regrets from the past, but you're going to go all the way through, and you are going to be whole, and you are going to be happy, and you are going to be strong, and you are going to be confident, and you are going to hold your head up high, and you're going to make the devil mad every single day that you're on this planet. Amen? Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds, curing their pain and their sorrow. Isn't that beautiful? He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds, curing their pain and their sorrow. Now, your soul is often referred to as your heart or your spirit, or even at times your mind. And it's really kind of some of all of that. But your soul is not your spirit, but it is the inner part of you. When you're born again, Christ comes to live in your spirit, and everything is just made good in there because he has to clean it up and make it holy, or he couldn't live there. So we're all taken care of spiritually. That's why we can say and not be lying that we have things or we are things before we actually see them in reality. Like, I can say I am the righteousness of God in Christ before I'm actually doing everything right, because I do have it, I'm just not showing it all yet. Amen? And boy, if you can ever get a hold of that, the devil is a thief, and he's right there ready to steal every beautiful thing that God gives us if we don't stand our ground and hang on to it. So some of the things I'm going to say tonight, you may have heard me say before. But before this night's over, by the grace and the mercy of God, and it will take that, I'm going to give you 10 points on how to have your soul completely healed. And if you follow these points, It may take some years. It may take some time. It may take some crying. It may take some going through stuff. But you will come out on the other side a whole individual with no evidence that you ever were that messed up person that you used to be. That'll be somebody that you feel like you used to know, but you're certainly not that anymore. Amen? I tell Dave he probably feels like he's been married to 20 different women in the 50 years we've been married. Because we just keep changing and changing and changing. So your soul is the inner part of you. And it's a part that certainly we can hide from people out here. Sometimes we even get pretty good at hiding it from ourselves. You know, I think one of the greatest things that we can do is know ourselves. I mean, really know yourself. And that takes a lifetime to really know yourself and to be honest with yourself. But certainly God knows us. And so it's very possible to look all together on the outside and yet be a complete total mess on the inside. Has anybody gotten good at dressing it up and taking it to church and putting on your church face? But yet inside you're thinking, I am falling apart, and why is this not working for me? The condition of our soul is not only felt by us, but it's also felt by all those that we are in relationship with. And to be honest, the biggest favor that you can do your family is to be a healthy you, a healthy, whole you, where they don't have to wonder every day what version of you they're going to get. Come on. But, you know, Dave says, I remember I used to drive down the highway at night and think, I wonder what she'll be like tonight. And I didn't know either until the devil told me. I didn't know until I got up and saw what my circumstances were going to be that way. Because if they were good and I was getting everything I wanted, then I might be happy. But I had no stability in my life. And there's nothing worse than being controlled by your thoughts and your feelings and what people say or don't say or what people do or don't do, or whether you get what you want or you don't get what you want. I want to be happy all the time, not just when my circumstances are telling me that it's okay to be happy. If the soul is wounded, we often wound other people. Many times unintentionally, many times we don't even know that we're doing it. But that's why we run into so many people in the world and we think, what is your problem? Well, they're wounded on the inside. And to be honest, sometimes instead of just wanting to get away from people like that, we might want to take a little more time to find out what's going on inside them. Because probably there's somebody that's bleeding on the inside and doesn't know how to get the help that they need. So I think loosely, very loosely, we can say that our soul is our personality. It's the way we present ourselves. And so God can heal our personality. James 1:21, I love this scripture. It says, receive the word of God with meekness, because it contains the power to save your soul. It doesn't say to save you like so you can go to heaven. It says the word of God is the healing balm that we need that will bring salvation and wholeness to this inner life, to my mind. I tell you what, my mind has been saved. Not just my spirit, my mind has been saved. When the Bible says to put on the helmet of salvation in Ephesians 6 as part of our warfare with the enemy, you know what that means? Learn how to think like a person that's saved. Don't keep thinking like somebody who's not saved. Think like a person that's saved. And then you don't have to believe every lie of the enemy. My feelings have been saved and are in the process of being saved. But I tell you what, I sure don't live by my feelings anymore. Nothing like what I used to a long time ago. And even my will has been saved. Not just my spirit, but my mind, my will, my emotions. And I no longer have to do just what I want to do because I want to do it. And I don't have to get angry anymore if I don't get what I want. But I can actually now want what God wants more than I want what I want in my life. That is wholeness and real salvation. Now, in saying that, let me say this. It's been a long time coming. 40 years, I've been a pretty serious student of the Word of God. And I would say probably 25 years ago, I started getting some pretty major breakthrough. But it took time. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. What I say tonight is going to help you. I believe by the grace of God that it is going to help you. I pray that the words will be so anointed that they absolutely have to help you. But just what I say tonight is not going to be the secret key that's going to fix everything in your life. Because here's the thing, if you don't go home and do what you hear, you know, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he said, I've done this as an example to you. And then in John 13, 17, he said, blessed shall you be knowing these things if you do them. If you do them. And you know, we say, well, it's just so hard. Well, that's one of the first things we need to stop saying. Don't ever say that again. It's just too hard, because it may be hard, but God is not going to give us anything to do that is too hard for us to do. He is the God of the impossible, and what God shows us to do, he gives us the grace and the anointing and the power to do. Everybody say, I can do it. Okay, I'm 10 minutes in and haven't even gotten to point one, so we're in trouble. When the Bible speaks about being saved, it's talking about being made whole. We're going to skip some stuff already. You see my pit here, don't you? How many of you know about being in the pit? Some of you probably still have one somewhere. Keep it around in just case you need to go in and visit for a day or so. Our pit is where we go and feel sorry for ourselves, and we go and remember all the bad things that everybody's ever done to us. And anyway, we'll visit the pit in a little bit. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. The pit ultimately refers to hell, but we can experience some of hell right here on earth unless we choose healing. Psalm 42 and 3, wonderful promise from God. He drew me up out of a horrible pit. A pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay, froth, and slime, and he set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and fear, revere and worship, and put their trust and confident reliance in the Lord. Do you see what that's saying? He said, look, I was in a pit. He lifted me out of that pit. He set my feet on a rock. People saw it, and then they wanted to serve the Lord. Come on. People saw it, and then they wanted to serve the Lord. One of the best things you can do for yourself and for God, one of the greatest ways that you can serve God, is to let him heal your life and then be an example to other people that if God can do it for you, God can do it for them. And if God does it for you, God will do it for them. I'm here to tell you tonight that you do not have to stay broken. You do not have to stay miserable. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live in self-pity. You don't have to live hating yourself and despising yourself. You don't have to live in regret, and you don't have to live in dread, and you don't have to live in fear. God is living in you, and you can live the life that Jesus died to give you. And some of us are going to be your cheerleaders to cheer you on as you make your journey. Now, Joseph is probably one of the best examples as the right way to respond to unjust treatment. And I'm sure that he had some rough days that the Bible doesn't necessarily tell us all about. But wow, what an example. And what a great account the Bible gives us of somebody who was so unjustly and unfairly treated, and yet he didn't park at the point of his pain. Come on now. He went all the way through from the pit to the palace. And honey, that's what God's got in mind for you. You might be in a pit, but you don't have to stay there, because he's going to lift you out of that pit and set your feet on a rock. So just a few scriptures here in Genesis 37. Now, when they saw him, they being his brother, far off, even before he came to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, see, here comes this dreamer and the master of dreams. So come on now, let's kill him and throw him into some what? Pit. Then we will say to our father, some wild, ferocious animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now Reuben heard it and said, no, let's don't kill him. And he said, shed no blood, but cast him into this, what? Pit, or well that is out here in the wilderness, and lay no hands on him. He was trying to get Joseph out of his hands in order to rescue him and deliver him to his father. When Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped him of his distinctive long garment which he was wearing, and they took him and they cast him into a what? Which was empty, and there was no water in it. But here's what I've got to say. Joseph chose not to remain where they left him. I don't know where somebody maybe has left you. Maybe somebody you loved and trusted walked out on you, and you're sitting there now with a broken heart, but you don't have to remain where they left you. You can get up, you can shake it off, and you can go on and do great things for God. Joseph decided somewhere down within him that he was going to keep a good attitude and that he was going to trust God to do something for him in his life. Well, let me tell you what living in a pit is like. We sit in our pits. For me, mine was my little office. Before I had an office, it was the bathroom. I used to love to go in the bathroom and be pitiful. Do any of your ladies like to go sit in the bathroom floor, lay your head on the toilet bowl, and just cry and be pitiful? Come on, be honest. You ever go to the bathroom and cry? Well, you know, it took me a long time, but God gave me a revelation on why women like to go to the bathroom and cry. There's a big mirror in there. And after you have sufficiently cried long enough, and you just like now feel as sorry for yourself as you possibly can feel, I can remember I would stand up, really a mess now. If I had any makeup on, it was mascara's running, my eyes are all red, I'm looking bad, the hair's messed up, and I go look at myself in the mirror and go, I remember one time as a born-again, spirit-filled Bible teacher, I was sitting in the bathroom floor, 7 months pregnant with my baby, who's now going to be 37, head laying on the toilet bowl, feeling sorry for myself. And one of the two times in my life that I can ever remember anything like this happening, I felt like my spirit kind of lift out of my body and hover above me and look down at me. And the Lord said, don't you look ridiculous? Do you just not look ridiculous? And you know what? We just need to sometimes just knock it off. Come on, I said we just need to knock it off. And we need to just get on with what God wants us to do. So, in my pit, I wasn't this dressed up when I went into my pit, by the way. Because if you're going to sit in your pit, you certainly don't want to look good while you're in there. And I would sit there and just hate people. And you know, if you live in a pit for a long time, you might as well just decorate it and make it kind of nice, you know, so you got something when you go in there. And so, you know, you can have pictures in your pit of all the people that you hate, and then it's like, boy, I remember what you did to me. And if you think I'm ever gonna forgive you, I'm not going to forgive you. I hate you. And then I could just feel so sorry for myself. Dave plays golf and he doesn't even understand what I'm going through. When I try to tell him, he just says, cast your care. Just cast your care. And then I had this book of remembrance. I was so dumb. I actually remember one time getting out a pad of paper and writing down on a piece of paper everything that I thought was wrong with my husband. Well, the last list I made one of everything that I thought was right with my husband. God has changed me. Amen? Now, here's the thing. You know, we said, oh, God, you got to change me. God, you got to help me. God, you got to do something. You got to do something. Remember what I said last night? The first thing that Jesus said to a lot of the people that he encountered was, get up. Make up your bed and go home. And what he meant was get up, get some gumption, shake that junk off, decide you're not gonna live like that anymore, and let's clean up the mess and leave no evidence that you were ever in that kind of a situation. The first thing that Jesus said to a lot of the people that he encountered was get up. Make up your bed and go home. And what he meant was get up, get some gumption, shake that junk off, decide you're not gonna live like that anymore, and let's clean up the mess and leave no evidence that you were ever in that kind of a situation. Well, Joseph decided that he wasn't gonna stay in that pit. He decided that he was gonna shake it off. And he ended up in the palace, second in charge to only the Pharaoh. You may not have anybody that understands. You may not have anybody that you think cares. You may feel like you are totally invisible in this earth. But let me tell you tonight, and don't you ever forget it, God sees you. He knows your name. He's got a plan for you. And if you will cry out to him and believe just a little teeny, 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 tiny bit, it doesn't even take much more than a mustard seed of faith. If you'll just believe just a little tiny bit, he'll reach down in you there and he'll lift you up out of that pit and he'll set your feet on a rock. Come on, this is a night of hope. A night of hope. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, well, this is Isaiah talking about the coming of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and the spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. Now, you know, just about the time you begin to get just a little tiny bit of freedom, someday you'll be walking along and you can kind of feel that pit trying to pull you back in. No. I've spent enough time in that pit, I'm not coming back in again. No, thank you. You know, I spent a lot of my life in self-pity. I felt sorry for myself because I'd been abused. And I just felt so sorry for myself. I felt sorry for myself because we didn't have much money. I felt sorry for myself, you know, blah, 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 blah. And when I started trying to serve God and wanting to be a powerful woman of God, God said to me, you can be pitiful or powerful, but you can take your pick because you can't be both. You can't be both. And I'm throwing that out to you tonight. Do you want to be pitiful or do you want to be powerful? And if you want to be powerful, then you got to give up the pity. God said, I'll give you beauty for ashes, but you can't keep the ashes and have the beauty. So I guess I got to say tonight, are you willing to let go of some things? Are you willing to let go of some attitudes? Are you willing to stop feeling sorry for yourself? Are you willing to be bold and say, if anybody can have freedom, I can have freedom. And I'm not going to shut up, God, until you bless me. Let's be like Jacob. I am not going to let you go until you bless me. I may have a limp all my life, but I'm going to limp off with my blessings. Isaiah 61, verse 7, I love this, love it, love it. Instead of your farmer's shame, you'll have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double, double what they forfeited. And everlasting joy shall be theirs. Double for your trouble. Why? Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. That's just the bottom line. God loves justice. Now, let me tell you something. I know that a lot of you have been through a lot of rough things. But you can let it make you bitter or you can let it make you better. And actually, the things that I went through, I had to make a choice at one point, but they've actually made me strong. I mean, I am strong. Strong inside. I don't quit. I don't give up. If I got a goal, I'm going to go after it. I'm strong physically. I'm strong, and you can be strong. But sometimes you got to go through some stuff, and in the middle of that going through, you've got to make a decision. I'm not going to park here at the point of my pain and give up on life. I am going to go through with God, and I believe this is going to work out good. Amen? All right. Point number one. Okay. First point to the healing of your soul. You must receive God's unconditional perfect love for you. You receive it as a gift. You can't deserve it. You can't earn it. And I don't care what you do, you cannot keep God from loving you. Because love is not something he does, turns on and off. It is who he is. Who he is. But if you have a revelation, not a teaching. Come on, we don't need another teaching. We need a revelation in our life. And the only way that a teaching that I'm doing becomes revelation to you is if you go home, you take it, you get out your Bible, you look at it, you write things down. You got to put some effort into it. You can't just sit there and want somebody else to download a victory into your life. I mean, we love free downloads. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is not a free download tonight. What I have to say here tonight cost me an unbelievable amount of pain. And I'm very happy to share it with you, but I am not offering you a free download. What I'm showing you is that you can have the same thing that God has given so many people if you're willing to do the same things that they did. Come on, get up, make up your bed. It's time to have a life. How many people here tonight need to make a decision about going home and beginning to just be a little more tenacious about not letting the devil walk all over you? Come on. Man, I just might get excited if I stay up here long enough tonight. You are accepted. Close your eyes and swallow this. God loves you unconditionally. He is not going to love you anymore when you behave better. God will never love you any more than he does at this moment right now because he already loves you with a perfect love. God loves you. Even though my mother and my father have forsaken me, the Lord will take me up and adopt me as his own child. Nobody in here is an orphan. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I think sometimes it's how we see ourselves. If you see yourself as broken, if you see yourself as an orphan, then you're always going to be that. And I want to tell you something. If you're still in the pit, I know exactly how you feel, but I'm telling you, this is your night to come out. When Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, come out. When the king went and opened the door of the fiery furnace, and he saw not three men in there that went in, but he saw four, because Jesus is always with you in your fiery furnace, he said, come out. And when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. And I'm telling you right now, it's time for you to come out. It's time for you to stop living like Jesus never died for you and start acting like the unbelievable, amazing human being that you are. Come on, give God a praise. If you want your soul to be healed, you have to receive God's forgiveness, and that means that you have to forgive yourself. Now, obviously, we can't forgive ourselves for our sins, but when we receive God's forgiveness, receiving it means that you take it and you let it go, and in essence, you forgive yourself. Don't go, the Bible says when he forgives us, he forgets our sins and he removes them as far as the east is from the west. You don't need to sit around and think about all the things that you did that were wrong. One of the things that came up several times today was, how do I get rid of this regret? How do I get rid of this regret? And you know, I talk a lot about regret. Because my father, bless his heart, I mean, he's gone home, and I'm happy to say with the Lord now, but he was 83 before he gave his life to Christ. And he was mean and hateful and abusive. And you know, when he died, nobody really cared because he never really did anything for anybody. We took care of him because we felt like it was what God wanted us to do. And that ended up being a witness to him, and he did receive Christ, I think, as a result of seeing God's unconditional love. But all he died, all he had laying on his hospital bed was regret. Regret. That's one of the reasons why I just wrote that book, Seize the Day. I tell you what, when I get to the end of my life, I want something to be proud of. I don't want to look back and just have nothing but regrets. I want to say, man, Jesus, we had quite a journey, and I'm so grateful for everything that you did in my life. I'm begging you tonight, don't live with regret. Don't park at the point of your pain. Let it go. I don't care if you did it 50 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago or this morning or on your way to this conference. Ask God to forgive you and let it go. Receive his forgiveness and forgive yourself and let it go. Point number three. And boy, here's the one that seems to get so hard for everybody. Completely forgive all the people that have hurt you. We have got so many angry people in the church. So many people that are mad at somebody. If it's not somebody from a long time ago, you're mad at the preacher because he didn't shake your hand on Sunday, or you're mad at the choir director because you didn't get in the choir, or, you know, whatever. All it does is just slam the door on what God wants to do in your life. Why do you want to stay mad at somebody that's out having a good time and don't even care that you're upset? That doesn't even make any sense. All you're doing is hurting yourself when you stay angry. You're not hurting them. All those years I hated my father, that didn't change him. That didn't make him want to repent or change him. Forgive people. You say, I want to, but I just can't, I just can't. Years ago, I said to God, why is it I see sincere people come and ask me to pray for them that they'll be able to forgive? And then 2 weeks later, they're back again asking me to pray for the same thing. I know these are good people. I know they love you. Back then, I was doing like different weekly meetings around town. And so I had a lot of the same people week after week. And they would come back, same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. And I knew they were sincere, and I didn't understand. I'm like, God, why, if they want to forgive, why is it that they don't seem to be able to? And this is exactly what the Lord spoke to me. He said, because they don't do what I tell them to. Now wait, what has God told us to do regarding forgiving our enemies? Pray for them? Come on, don't sit there and look so innocent. How many of you actually really sincerely pray for the people that have hurt you to be blessed? Yeah, well, we got a few holy hands up, but not very many, let me tell you. You know why? Because the truth is, you don't want them to be blessed. The Bible says that you bless and do not curse them. To bless means to speak well of. To curse means to speak evil of. So that means you got to stop retelling everybody what they did to you over and over and over and over and over and over. You got to zip your lip, pray for God to bless them. It is very hard to keep hating somebody that you're praying for every day. The best thing that you can do when you've got an enemy is send them a present. Now that went over big. I'll tell you the story. Somebody came to the office one day and they were all upset because they'd been in a local restaurant and were sitting at a table where somebody sitting in the booth beside them was cutting down us and our ministry. Well, the person doing the gossiping happened to be somebody that we did business with who made a lot of money off of the business that we gave them. And boy, I wish they wouldn't have told me. You know, sometimes you just don't need to tell people stuff. But so now they told me, so now I got to try to deal with this thing. And I was spitting, popping mad. I mean, I was like, that's it? I will not do business with them again. That is not right for them to sit and gossip about me. I'm going to let them know that bad, 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 bad. And I went on like that. You know how we are in our head making plans on how we're going to. Come on, you ever lay around and just make plans on, I'm going to say and I'm going to do and I'm not going to do. And so it's like, I don't know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm still thinking about what I'm going to do. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, you know, really, you're not going to do any of that. And I said, well, what am I going to do? He said, you're going to do what you teach. You're going to send them a gift. Well, I wrote a book called Me and My Big Mouth, and I'm telling you what, I so desperately wanted to send them a copy of that. You don't know how bad I wanted to send them that. Oh, but we ended up sending them gift certificates to go out and eat and yada, yada, yada. But here's the thing. The minute laying in that bed that night, the instant that I made the decision to do what God had told me to do, the burden lifted off of me. My joy, I hadn't even done it yet, but because I knew I was going to do it, joy returned, and I could see the humor in the whole thing, how it defeats the devil when you turn around and you're good to somebody who mistreated you. Come on. Okay, now, you don't have to feel like praying for somebody to be blessed to pray for them. You do it in obedience to God. You don't have to feel like blessing your enemies, but you can do it in obedience to God. And it's perfectly fine if you say, you know, God, I don't feel like doing this, but I love you so much that I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do because I believe that your word works. And so I'm just going to tell you right now, you are going to be living in this stupid, ugly pit the rest of your life if you don't make a decision that you are not going to live angry and you are going to start getting so good at forgiveness that you are going to give the devil a breakdown. Number four, no more self-pity. You know, no matter how bad you think you've got it, there's somebody else in this room right now tonight that's got it worse than you do. Count your blessings, and I mean that. I've been doing something the last week or so, week and a half. I don't know how hard it'll get after I do it a while, probably harder. But I'm writing down 10 things every day that I'm thankful for in my journal. But I made a commitment that they had to be 10 different things every day. They can't be the same thing. It's getting pretty interesting, but you'd be amazing. I mean, really just jaw-dropping amazed at all the things that we have to be thankful for if we would just actually stop for a minute and pay attention to them. It would so drive self-pity out of your life that it would have no way to even hope to get in. Number five. Woo, I love this. I wish I had an hour and a half. Stop blaming other people for your problems. Stop blaming everybody else for your problems. Own your own junk. Own it. I have a bad attitude. And my attitude belongs to me, and nobody can make me have one if I don't want to own it. Take responsibility for it. I'm having a lousy day. Well, I think it's your fault. Well, no, I can choose to have a good day if I want to. Nobody else can make you have a bad day if you really don't want to have a bad day. Here's the thing. What my dad did to me when I was a child in sexually abusing me was the reason why I had the problems I had. But I had to stop using that as an excuse to stay that way. Come on, hear me. That was the reason, but the reason now became an excuse to stay parked at the point of my pain. And so I had to stop blaming, start realizing that all painful, hurtful things come from the devil. He just finds somebody to work through. And I figured out how to get him back. And the way you get the devil back is by doing as much good as you can every day of your life to as many people as you can, as long as you breathe. Romans 12:21, we overcome evil with good. One of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. That's why God says, bless your enemies. Pray for those who treat you cruelly. That's why it does no good to blame people who hurt you. The only reason why they hurt you is because somebody hurt them and they haven't had any healing in their life yet. Amen. Stay in the Word, 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 stay in the Word. Amen? You know, the Word, just like you might take an aspirin if you got a headache, there's something in the Word for everything that ails you. All you got to do is take it. You got a prescription that's got as many refills as you'll ever want. And you can't take too much. The Word of God is one thing you cannot overdose on. Be patient. Let the Holy Spirit lead. And help as many people as you can possibly help. Well, God does not want us to be broken and hurting. So learn to receive God's unconditional love and let it begin to heal you. It's one of the most important things that we can do. We take that step of receiving God's love, and healing begins in our life. Today we're offering you a couple of wonderful resources. My book called Beauty for Ashes, That's definitely what God has given me in my life, and He wants to give it to you. And then also some CDs and DVDs called Healing the Soul of a Woman. You know, women are wonderful, and they have hurts that many people would not understand, but God understands everything, and He's the only one that knows how to fix us and reach every place where we're broken. So if you'll stay with us then, I'll be right back with a very important invitation for you.